Happy Hump Day. We're broadcasting from the Simpson Avenue Radio Studios in Aberdeen. This is Local Matters, where we like to talk about local stuff, city, county, state. We save the nationals for those bozos.
Bozo? What's a bozo?
I don't know.
Excuse me, I'm Dr. Birdie. I'm on the air today, in case you're wondering.
Right. You just kind of just sort of chimed in there,
I just wandered in.
Is it flea season now? Is it always flea season?
Okay. Here in Aberdeen, we do kind of, the fleas do really kind of go pretty dormant for 2 or 3 months in the winter, but everything else is flea season.
Okay.
And we're just as bad as places like Florida here, because what the fleas want, they need a certain amount of warmth, but they need a certain amount of humidity too. Mm. When it's below 40%, they can't really live. So places like Spokane that are dry, they don't have fleas. Places like Alaska that are really cold, they don't have a flea issue either. But we do.
Yes, we do. Hey, it's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Morning, Johnny. Good morning, Dr. Berge.
Good morning.
Morning.
Say, Ocean Shores area and Highway 115, which is a 50-mile-an-hour stretch of road, about 2 miles long. And I see all the time people with their dogs hanging out the passenger side or rear window, and they're just staring ahead. And I'm thinking, why in the world don't you put some goggles on your dog before they stick their head out the window? I just wonder how many dogs you see that have eye damage from it.
It is absolutely true. That's really? A really appropriate thing to be seeing on the air, because that's actually a significant veterinary issue that owners just are not clueless, because the dogs love it. They stick their head out, the eyes get damaged, not permanently, but they get irritated from the wind. And then they'll come in here and pay me an office call to find out why their dog's eyes are all bloodshot. And I said, does your dog stick his head out the window? Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Of course, all dogs do that, right? Some clients actually have put goggles on their dogs and said that it works for them. But mostly, but thanks for the call. Mostly you just don't let your dog stick his head out at high speed.
Right. But you see it all the time.
Yeah.
So shake your finger at him.
No.
Shame on you, owner.
No, I think
you're not getting goggles.
It might be misconstrued. They might think you're shaking the wrong finger and they shoot you.
Right. Right. Do they make goggles for dogs?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. They're cute.
Are they really expensive?
Probably all different price ranges.
Right.
But if you go online, I'm sure you can get whatever you want.
Dog goggles. Okay. Hey, to each their own, right?
Dogs love little things to be put on them. You know, when I was a kid, I think, why were those little poodles? Why did they put the sweaters on them, things? Don't they hate that? No, most of them don't. They like the attention.
Are there other things like that we just don't really know about? When it comes to, dogs' heads out the windows. And
the world's full
of
stupid things we do because we didn't know any better.
Like for our pets?
For everything, including politics.
Oh, yeah, indeed. So, if you have any questions for Dr. Berge here about your pet, dogs and cats, that's your specialty, right?
Right, but on the air, I'll talk about anything.
Okay.
Do you have a problem with a broken leg on your nudibranch?
What's a nudibranch?
It has no legs.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a little sea slug. They come in different sizes. Most of them are pretty small and very colorful.
You're being witty, aren't you?
Well, I'm trying.
Yeah. But you used to be a marine something, right?
Yeah, I'm still a marine biologist.
Still are?
Yes.
Okay.
Just never managed to get paid for it.
You don't lose, your credentials because you don't do it much. You're always.
Yeah, so once and for all. Once you get a degree, you always get a degree.
I'm surprised they haven't made you have to, pay a fee to keep it.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I am surprised. Yeah. maybe we should stop talking about that.
Right.
Because, a lot of things that used to be free are now charged.
Right. You've been fishing lately?
No, but I eat a lot of fish. We buy it from the fish stores.
Yeah?
But if you have any friends who are out fishing and have more fish than you know what to do with...
Give you a call?
Yes.
Do you have a favorite type of fish to eat?
Everything.
Everything. But everything fish.
Really. One of the things we try to find that's hard to find is all the bottom fish, the rock fish and so forth.
Yeah.
The fishermen will typically fillet them because they don't want to store all the stuff that they think is worthless. But if you can get the whole fish, there are a lot of recipes that you cook the whole thing, head and all, and then you worry about the details on your plate.
Yeah.
But mostly for things like that, it's hard to get the whole fish because all you can get are the fillets.
Okay. As a vet, do you, because you've made it clear that you focus on dogs and cats, but can you do fish? Is it possible to vet fish?
There are fish veterinarians.
Are there?
It's kind of a specialty job. There are not very many of them. One of the things, there are a lot of drugs, prescription drugs, and if you're a producer, like a dairyman or a fish farm owner, mm-hmm. Many times you need to have a pet veterinarian to sign your prescription forms for you, even if the veterinarian doesn't do a whole lot of work otherwise. But usually they do. Mm-hmm. They'll guide you about what the right choices are and so forth. But okay. You still do need a veterinarian to get some of these controlled substances.
Speaking of, back to dogs and fleas,
mm-hmm.
I've seen where some vets prescribe, you know, they give you a prescription, like a piece of paper to take to the pharmacist
uh-huh.
to get something for your dog's itchiness.
Right. By the way, the veterinary laws were created by the same board of government as the physician's laws.
Mm-hmm.
So that the whole thing of being a veterinarian versus being a physician are under the same umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things the veterinarians and physicians have is the ability to write prescriptions for prescription-type medications, including human medications.
Mm-hmm.
So any veterinarian can write a prescription for Viagra or whatever if they think it's a good idea.
Really?
And it's a totally legal prescription.
Oh, wow.
But another thing is every customer, you know, if you're with your physician or with your veterinarian and you make a request for a prescription, the veterinarian or the physician is required to provide that prescription unless they have a good medical reason not to.
Oh.
So, for instance, if you say, yeah, I want a prescription for morphine, your physician may say no, because
right.
they have a valid medical reason not to.
Right.
But if you go to a veterinarian and you say, well, I want a prescription for Bravecto, it's too expensive at your place, the veterinarian does not have the legal right to say, no, I won't write you a prescription because I want to make the profit.
Oh, yeah.
They are legally required to write that prescription for you.
What happens if they don't?
Oh, well, first of all, by that time, your client-patient relationship is trashed, so you
yeah.
should just find another veterinarian.
Yeah.
But basically, that is, you know, the only reason to not write the prescription is if the veterinarian feels it's inappropriate.
Yeah.
Or if it's been 2 years and you haven't seen them and then you demand a prescription over the telephone,
yeah.
No, they would decline the prescription because they don't have an active relationship.
Ah. Okay. Well, it's 18 minutes after 7, Dr. Berge of Blue Cross Vet.
Right, and I'm here and I'm listening. And, there was a problem with messengers back in ancient times. Mm-hmm. If you were giving advice that they didn't like, they would kill you.
Oh, well, we're getting there.
You know, that saying, kill the messengers. They actually did that.
Yeah, we're getting there, almost. So, now, I've heard, you know, we're talking about, like, prescriptions and medications and vets prescribing and things like that. Now, I've heard that, like, some vets price gouge some medications or, you know, prescriptions, because that is an income, right?
Well, you know, price gouge, that's a kind of a trigger word. But,
uh-oh.
You know,
sorry. Trigger warning.
No, it's not triggering me.
Okay.
I'll talk about it. But, everybody wants to earn a living. Everybody wants to make a profit. And mm-hmm. every business has the right to mark products up. Mm-hmm. If I'm selling something, of course I'm going to sell it for more than I bought it for.
Right.
The question is, how much more? Mm-hmm. You know, typical for most businesses, they actually double it. You know, if you buy a pair of nail clippers, if you pay $5 for it, the store bought it for $2.50.
Right.
That's kind of your rule of thumb for most products. And that seems like a lot, but, you know, that is to pay for the staff members and for the shoplifting and for the heating bill. And
see, now I always thought it was like 33%.
Well, different things. You know, the grocery stores have a much lower markup.
Yeah.
So when you buy food from a store, it's much less than 50% markup.
Right. Okay.
So, different markups for different purposes, and a markup is totally ethical. The question is how much of a mark.
Right.
And sometimes people may be a little frustrated because they feel the markup is too high. Mm-hmm. And if you think that might be true, and maybe it is true, you might not be making this up, then it's perfectly appropriate to shop around for a price. And if it's a prescription project, just because something is a prescription product does not mean that you have to buy it from your veterinarian. And the physicians gave up on running their own pharmacies years ago. But once upon a time, 150 years ago, the physicians often had a pharmacy in the back room, and they would grind stuff up and make their own pills and things.
Oh, yeah?
And then they gave up on that because they were making more money just being a doctor.
Right.
And they created an entirely different job called being a pharmacist.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to grind and make their own pills, but they don't do that anymore either.
Right.
That's all done by big corporations now.
Pfizer.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I don't have to accept the medications that my vet gives me. I can just ask for a prescription.
Right. And excuse me. If you ask your veterinarian for a prescription, now your physician will already be giving you a prescription.
Right.
But if you ask your veterinarian for a prescription, you're not hurting their feelings.
Yeah.
They know that they have the legal right to write you that prescription if it was their idea in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you come to them and say, I want this drug, and they say, I'm not sure that drug is a good idea.
Yeah. That's a different story.
Yeah, they will decline that.
But if Fido needs something for fleas.
Right, and the veterinarian has already said that they would like to sell it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then if you say, well, I'd like to find it cheaper elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
don't do that with a nasty tone in your voice because you will hurt their feelings.
Be nice about it.
But it is a perfectly reasonable request to ask for a prescription.
Should I feel bad about it, about asking?
No. Because all of us, including me, we earn money on our pharmacy, but the main source of income is those office calls and the consultation and the actual being a veterinarian. Mm-hmm. So the pharmacy is a source of income for us, but it's a sideline.
Yeah.
So we can take it or we can leave it.
Okay. It's not going to make or break you?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, if you have any questions for Dr. Berge, 360-533-5259. Text message or email johnny@jodesha.com. Is there an easy way to get your cat, and right away it's probably no, there's no easy
there's
way
no,
to get your
no,
cat
not, not
to
even.
Do anything. But one of ours likes to, okay, they all like to do their claws on things, like whether it's the couch or something. We got one of those cardboard things.
And they often like those,
and yeah. It's like they know what they're for, and they just go to that. Well, one likes to go up to the corner of our wall and almost try to scratch it. It can't because it's like sheetrock and stuff, but it's still trying. Anything
it
I
likes
can do?
The feel of that. Okay. Well, first of all, if they're scratching at something you don't want to, normally you cover that with. Sometimes tin foil will work. Sometimes something more substantial.
Mm-hmm.
Try covering it.
Yeah.
And then see where we go from there. But it can be actually kind of frustrating. They can do a lot of damage.
Yeah, no kidding. Man, oh, man. Okay, I've always heard that you can't get, like, cat urine out of anything, out of something. Like, if they pee on, I don't know.
It's hard.
Yeah.
You know, and there are different products, enzyme products and so forth, that do actually go a long ways towards it. But particularly when carpet is involved, the urine will soak into the deeper layers, the underlayment of the carpet, and it's very hard to get that smell out there.
Yeah. But if it's something like a coat, you know, like they...
Well, so clothing, that's a little easier because you can soak it in different things in the washing machine.
Okay. I'm just shooting from the hip here.
Yeah.
Just...
But yeah, the urine.
I'm winging it.
The main thing about urine in a home is that it will soak deep into the structure of different things, and then there's a little residue that can take years to fade away.
What's your opinion on cats being let outdoors?
Oh, that's a hard one. They really love outdoors.
Yeah.
It's really dangerous. Mm-hmm. So the indoor cats, actually, statistically, if you take a 100% indoor cat and compare its lifespan with an indoor-outdoor or outdoor-only, the indoor cat has 3 times the lifespan.
Wow.
That's like, you know, a human lasting 20 years versus 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big hit for danger.
Mm-hmm.
Because outdoors, the cats, they get run over. That's the number one thing. They get attacked by dogs. Sometimes they'll find poisons, rat poison and antifreeze and things like that. And cumulatively, it's kind of a dangerous lifestyle.
Okay, beyond that stuff, let's say you're a barnyard cat.
Okay.
You know, you don't have, there's not traffic around, you know, what about that type of lifestyle?
Well, the cats love it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've known some farm cats that can live a long time.
Mm-hmm.
If the farmer gives them proper worm and flea medicine.
Yeah.
And usually a barn cat is not out in the elements. They're kind of in the barn.
Right.
You know, sure, they go down out in the fields and things when the weather is nice. But as soon as it turns nasty, they have a nice place in that barn.
Right. We have this younger cat.
Mm-hmm.
Who is really ambitious when it comes to hunting.
Right, and which is also dangerous in its own right.
Yeah, and why would that be?
Because of parasites.
Yeah. He likes to, you know, catch little critters. And one day, he brought a critter in.
Okay.
So he starts eating it. Like,
okay.
Chewing it. It's like, oh my gosh, it's gross. We take it, dispose of it. Went right back outside. Not 5 minutes later, I want to say like 2 minutes later, he comes back with another one.
Okay. These are like little mice or something?
Yeah. Little like field mice. I don't know. It wasn't a rat, but they're just, you know, we live out in the woods, so there's a lot of critters, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We take that one. He goes right back out. Less than 2 minutes. Comes back in with another one.
If they were really small, he probably found a nest.
Yeah. I was thinking about like strapping a GoPro to him or something. Seeing where he's going. He did that like 5 times.
Yeah. That's how many babies she had.
Uh-oh. Had.
Yeah. And that's the other thing about cats. You know, I love cats, but they can do a lot of harm, particularly to birds.
Yeah.
And some of these birds, they really don't have the breeding capacity to outbreed the cats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cats are killing them faster than they can reproduce.
Yeah.
And so a lot of bird populations are dropping because of that.
Well, you know, we have hawks and eagles out there, too.
Right, and yep.
I didn't realize how big eagles were.
Yeah,
they're huge.
Big. Oh, but back on predators, cats versus wild predators.
Yeah.
In the wild world, if you have a predator like a hawk that eats a certain animal, and then the population of that animal drops, then the hawk population drops, too. So it's kind of self-regulating.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a population of cats that are being fed on cat food, you can have millions of cats. And they just idly kill this endangered species whenever they happen to wander by.
Mm-hmm.
They can drive it right down to extinction.
That's probably why.
Whereas if that endangered species was being preyed upon by a wild predator, the predator would also be going down in population.
That's probably what happened to that spotted owl. Dr. Berge of Blue Cross Vet is patiently waiting for me to stop yapping.
No, this is your job, and your job is to cater to my whims right now. And,
exactly.
And okay, since of my whim, I'm going to talk about anal sacs right now.
Can you say that on the radio?
Anal? Anal? Anal?
I guess.
Yeah, it's a real
word. Nobody beeped you.
Yeah.
No, but sacs.
Okay, yeah.
S-A-C-K-S.
Yeah, humans do not have anal sacs. You know, everyone knows about skunks. They'll skunk you because there's some sort of smell that they can produce.
And is that from the anal sacs?
That's correct.
Okay.
Because skunks are a mustelid they're a carnivore.
Mm-hmm.
So they're slightly related to dogs.
Okay.
And both dogs and all the carnivores will have two little bags of scent right next to their rear end.
Mm-hmm.
And these bags of scent, the only purpose is to make a bad smell. And for the skunks, they're highly developed and muscular, and they can squirt this liquid for quite a distance.
Yeah.
But for dogs, they only just dribble a little bit.
But dogs have them?
Yes, they do. And sometimes they can get infected and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes a veterinarian has to go and put on a glove and poke their finger up the butt and squeeze those little anal sacs and get them emptied out.
Ew.
To keep them healthy. And that's one of the things I do for a living.
Wow. Yeah, I'd rather pay you to do that.
Right, and that's the funny thing, because many times I've offered to train my customers how to do it at home.
Yeah.
They rarely take me up on that.
And you're like, no, thank you.
But actually, just a few weeks ago, one of my clients who does have medical training wanted me to really seriously teach them. And actually, you know, she put on the gloves and everything else and lubed up and went in there so she can do it at home.
Oh, boy.
I was very proud of her.
Wow.
But some things are just better to delegate.
Right.
You know, I just had the roof replaced at the clinic, and I watched these guys much stronger than I am, mm-hmm. smarter for this job.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, wow, you know, it's kind of drooling looking at all that people doing
and
things.
And they make
on,
it look so easy.
Yeah, working so hard with so much skill mm-hmm. just for me.
Right.
You know, it's really neat.
Yeah. They did it out of the kindness of their hearts, right?
Well, they required a significant chunk of money, but they earned every penny of it.
Right. And they do. They just make it look so easy.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, you know, we're kind of teeter-tottering back and forth from dogs to cats, because that's your specialty. Do you do possums?
You know, if you brought in a possum, I would certainly look at it. Mm-hmm. But I try not to charge money for things where I can't give a great value.
Yeah.
You know, and actually I can. You know, I talk about your mouse or your bird or whatever, and I think I do actually give proper value.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms, if it's sick, then I really can't do too much because right. most of the time I can't fix it.
Right.
So I do tend to pass the buck on that. But, yeah, a client was telling me just a couple of days ago they found a baby possum and they're raising it.
Oh.
And then he said, and by the way, years ago I had another possum that I raised. He had for 2 years and stuff like that. And they actually make pretty good pets. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about the current status in terms of legal or not legal.
Right.
You know, the Fish and Wildlife can be kind of a dog in the manger about that. They say, no, you can't have that as a pet. Okay, well, then you take care of it. Oh, no, we don't. Taxpayers don't want to pay for that.
Right.
Well, what am I supposed to do? Oh, we'll shoot it. But you can't have it for a pet.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's a little frustrating on that.
Do you know the average? I wouldn't expect you to know this, but you would know this more than, you know, before I would, an average lifespan of a possum? You said he had it for 2 years.
The possums can live longer than that. They're kind of short, but I think they're good for at least 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
He felt that he had caused its death by giving it cheese, and
really?
Caused it to block the intestines.
Hmm. Okay.
And I can't really say, as a veterinarian, I'm not sure. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. But he did give it cheese and it died, so you know he does have a claim to that.
So if you have a possum out there, don't give it cheese, just in case.
I, as a veterinarian, I'm going to keep my mouth shut on that question. But because, you know, the possums go into the garbage, so I suppose they get cheese there too sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
A lot of things, it's the quantity. You know, mm-hmm. if something is really, you know, and ducks can die from getting too much white bread.
Okay.
You know, you feed bread, and suddenly their crop is completely filled, and it glues together and forms like a concrete plug, and then they're toast.
Hmm.
You know, and other animals can do that, too. They eat too much of something that solidifies in their digestive system, and then they're gone.
Hmm. And by the time they bring it to you...
Not much I can do about
not
it.
Not a lot you can do.
Yeah. The secret for most of these exotic pets, we call them, is to get the books on how to raise them, give them the proper vitamins and minerals, a healthy cage environment, the right temperature. Sometimes they need special heat lamps or energy lamps and things. And if you do all those things, they tend to do really nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you've got something wrong, whatever you got wrong is usually fatal.
Right.
And then you're out of luck.
Do you have many pet owners that inquire about taxidermy?
I have had a few inquiries on that.
Yeah.
I find taxidermy really interesting myself, but it's one of those things that you can actually get a lot of people who will judge you harshly on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even if you have a roadkill fox or something, say, oh, you horrible person, you killed that fox.
Right.
But no, I found it on the road and I, you know, mounted it and now it's on display. Oh, you monster.
Right.
You know, and I'm not even going to go there personally.
Right.
But taxidermy, I think, is an honorable profession.
Right. Been around a long time.
Yeah.
Gosh, I saw something the other day that was stuffed. What was it? I think it was like a bobcat or a lynx.
Yeah. You know, and there's a lot of really badly done stuff, too.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of skill to make a dead thing look alive again.
Right. Well, if you have any questions for Dr. Berge, I'm almost out of questions, so you're going to have to do it at 360-533-5259. Email or text message, johnny@jodesha.com. At no charge. You're not charging for this.
Yes, and of course, you know, as you've probably, anyone listening has probably already maybe tried it now and then. You know, you get the, on the line to a veterinary clinic and start asking some advice. And the receptionist will often give you a little morsel of advice now and then, but the real nitty-gritty advice has a price tag on it.
Right. Make an appointment. We'll see you. Bring it in.
Yep.
Okay. We're talking about cats and letting them outdoor and stuff like that. I know that eagles and hawks can swoop in, and they'll even grab, like, small, medium dogs, some of these big...
Right. Basically, it's just a size thing. If your pet is below about 15 pounds, it's at risk from a variety of different predators. Mm-hmm. Eagles, coyotes, mm-hmm. Cougars. Cougars would take a bigger dog, too. And then also owls for cats. Owls will take out a lot of cats, and they do it at night, so you don't realize.
Oh.
Your cat just walks away, and that doesn't come back again.
Right.
But the big owls we have here, the barn owls and the snowy owls, they'll take out cats.
It's Local Matters. You're on the air.
Good morning, Johnny and Dr. Burgess. This is Jenny. How are you today?
We're doing great. How you doing?
Doing good. If you have a cat that likes to scratch on your walls,
mm-hmm.
put double-sided sticky tape on the wall.
Oh, okay. It has the wrong, you know, it doesn't feel nice on your feet. Remember, of course, sometimes that tape can take the paint off of your wall when you remove the tape later. But, yeah, that's definitely something worth trying.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and if you have, like, I had an older antique piece of furniture that my cat wanted to scratch on,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't put it on that because it would take the varnish off.
Right.
So she got a water gun squirt.
Well, as long as you never sleep and you stand crouched over the item with your squirt gun at the ready, that should work.
At that time, she was old and slept all night, so. But... my problem is I have a small dog,
mm-hmm.
and she likes, this is nasty, but she likes to eat the poop out of the litter box. What can I do for her? Is she missing something in her diet?
Well, no, they actually like the flavor, you know, and there are things you can feed to a dog or a cat that make the poop taste bad, and you would think the poop already tastes bad, but you're not a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing, but really in this case, if the dog is only taking it from a litter box, you probably need to get one of those litter box with a cover so the dog can't easily get into it. And if the cat is willing to accept the cover, that will usually work.
She's a very small dog.
Okay, well, the dog might be able to follow anywhere the cat can go. Also, there are actually motorized litter boxes that will remove the poop on a regular basis. They have like a little rake that goes through the litter and takes it into a safe place. And that would definitely be mm-hmm. something to consider.
And the problem is when she eats it, she gets very lethargic. She's... you know, it's like it almost, like she has an allergic reaction to it or something.
Huh. Normally it shouldn't affect them. They just eat it and then they poop it back out again. But I think the motorized litter box would definitely be something, an investment worth buying for you.
Yeah. Well, she's allergic to fleas and she's allergic to chicken. So I don't know if the cat food maybe has chicken in it or something that's hard to say,
but if you have even one flea in your home, you definitely need to upgrade that flea control. Because a lot of dogs with itchy skin, just one flea bite is all it takes, and the older products don't always work very well. So upgrading to one of the newer products is definitely something to consider.
Yeah, I get the peel from the vet and give that to her because when she flea bites her, it swells really bad and she immediately starts scratching until she bleeds.
Okay, yeah, if you're getting the pills from the veterinarian, those are probably the good stuff.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for your help.
Did I? Oh, I hung up on him. Dang it. This dumb phone. Well, it's dumb me using the dumb phone. So call me back at 360-533-5259. Email or text johnny@jodesha.com. Hey, thanks for calling back.
Yeah, you dumped me.
Yeah.
He says it's an accident.
Good morning. Yeah, he always does. Oh, good morning, Dr. Berge.
Good morning.
We found a solution totally accidentally for our dog, at least, getting into the litter box. It was a couple of years ago. we switched away from using the clay cat litters to a wood byproduct cat litter that had a mix of like cornhull and cedar and pine shavings and stuff in it. And turns out that he loathes that.
Oh, really?
We switched.
It sounds kind of nice smelling to me, but you know.
Well, actually, and it did. It didn't clump as well, but we actually changed to a walnut based one that has walnut shells in it later. But we used the corn, pine, and cedar one for I don't know, probably about a year and a half, and he did not. He got in there a couple of times and turned his nose up at it, threw up once. He did not like that, and it broke him of it permanently.
Right. It's kind of like cinnamon on your bagel. It's just not tasty, you know. It's hard to figure out. Now, sometimes things can have so much perfume that even the cat won't use it. So that can be an issue, too.
And this wasn't perfumed. It was just corn, cedar, and pine shavings, and it worked as a good litter. But, yeah, the dog did not like it at all. And we fought with him for probably 5 years. We could not get him. We had the one with the lid, the litter box with the lid, and
so you put a lot of effort into this. I hate it when you're fighting on a project, you know, and you're using all of your intelligence and nothing works. Then you try this and it doesn't work. But I hear that's what life consists of, is not always
that
winning.
That is true. But for the lady that called in, she might try that. Try switching to a different type of litter or one of the natural based ones. He doesn't like the one with the walnut shells. It's made out of walnut shells either. And I don't know if that's because walnut shells are really bitter because they treat them with lye when they're curing them or what. But
okay.
He doesn't like that either.
Okay. I would think that walnut shells would not be very absorbent, though.
Well, that was why we actually switched off of that one, too. But after a couple of years of using that, he doesn't even go in there anymore. He has no interest in it.
Oh, yeah. He's a new man, huh?
Yep, he's been conditioned to avoid it now.
There you go. See, the justice system does work.
That's true, yes. At least when it comes to dogs and cat litter. All right, have a good day.
All right, thank you for the call.
Yeah, 360-533-5259. Text or email johnny@jodesha.com. We're talking with Dr. Berge, Blue Cross Vet. Okay. Got another call.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Local Matters. You're on the air.
Hi, I have a cat question. And maybe it's about a behavior type thing. So we have three cats. One is 13. And there we have two siblings that are 7 years old. The two siblings torment the 13-year-old. Do you know why they would do something like that?
Because they can. One of the reasons that cats are so popular as pets is because they're just like humans in many ways, including taking advantage of the undertrodden. So they're doing it because they get a kick out of it. But the question is, what do you do to make them stop? And that can be a little tough because they can be relentless. How long has this been going on?
Since they got to be adults and she got to be older, when they were kittens, she used to pick on them, and I think it might be a little bit turned out very
right. Right, a little PTSD going on here. Cats are very catty. You know, people have talked about this before, and it can be tough to deal with. Can you physically separate them a little bit and give some time out to the older cat so it can have a safe place?
I do. So, yeah, in fact, if she's on, she wants to come, the older one, 13-year-old, if she wants to come and sit on her lap, but the other two are around, she won't stick around. She'll take off because those two will jump on her lap and kind of, you know, kick her out, basically.
Right. Yes,
so the other two are in an enclosed space in the back porch, and then we have special attention for the 13-year-old because she does not need to be tormented by those other two.
You bet. And just continue to try to give her favorable treatment, remembering you're creating jealousy. And by the way, jealousy is real. You know, if somebody says, oh, there's just an animal, it can't feel jealous. No, they if it looks like jealousy, it is jealousy.
Oh, yeah, we see it. It's real.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call.
360-533-5259. Text or email johnny@jodesha.com. Now, we've learned that dogs that stick their head out the window can damage their eyes.
Right.
We've learned that early this morning.
You can irritate the eyes, but not necessarily permanently damage them.
Right, not necessarily, but could.
Well, if it's any type of a repeated trauma can cause permanent damage.
But they do make goggles.
Yes.
For pets. Okay, now, the chocolate myth. I've heard that if you give dogs chocolate, it'll kill them.
Okay, now, when I was in vet school, they had a few things that were considered to be poisonous, you know, like rhubarb and antifreeze and stuff like that. Now there's just like a million things, and a lot of them, the vast majority of them, are kind of a hysterical overreaction, because there are a lot of things that are toxic in huge quantities that are not toxic in small quantities, like onions and so forth. You know, and people just are not showing judgment. You know, as a veterinarian, I consider it's my job is to try to give you a little balance as best I can, but not some veterinarians kind of can go crazy on that, too.
How so?
They were taught, this is dangerous, so that you need to do everything by the book. I'm wanting to share a case. I think maybe I can share it a little bit, you know, ethically here. A client, their dog ate a cookie with raisins in it. And they'd read on the internet that raisins are toxic to dogs, which they are in massive quantities. And that they got no comfort from the internet. So then they called the emergency and got no comfort from them, but they got a big bill. And they went in and had, you know, carbon given and all sorts of things for this little cookie.
Carbon? That was the enemy.
There's a type of so-called activated charcoal. It's just kind of like a universal antitoxin. You know, if you're eating something poisonous and you eat some activated charcoal right afterwards, like within 20 minutes, you can maybe absorb some of that poison into the carbon, which means that it won't hurt you. But it's pretty much worthless if it's been more than a half an hour since you ate it. But it's part of the deal. You know, you have to do the deal. So this dog did the deal, and the dog's fine. But I really felt kind of cranky because I felt that this client, who in good faith was trying to do the right thing, was led astray by hysteria creating a crisis out of nothing.
Right.
You know, and a lot of the things for poison are like that. You know, yes, in quantity it's poisonous, but not in the quantities that we're dealing with here.
Right.
You know, I've had a lot of people freak out because my buddy gave my dog a hamburger and it had a slice of onion on it. So, the dog really liked the hamburger. You know, what are you going to do now? Give him another one? You know, these things are not that toxic.
So, onion is one of those in mass quantities, right?
Right. And yes, I did participate in a case where an entire flock of sheep died from onion toxicity.
Yeah.
This was when I was working as a lab tech at the diagnostic lab in Corvallis, Oregon. And the shepherd got an entire truckload of onion waste, because there's a lot of onion cannery, you know, food processing in the Willamette Valley. And so you get the bean waste or the onion waste or things like that. So he got a whole truckload of onion waste, fed it to his sheep, which is delicious to the sheep, and they chowed down. Every one of them filled their bellies full of onions, and almost all of them died.
Wow.
So, yes, onions can kill animals, but you have to really eat a lot.
Yeah, and same with raisins, like a raisin cookie.
Right.
Not going to do it.
Yeah,
right?
we had a dog that was getting into our pantry and eating massive quantities of raisins for months before we find out the raisin bin was empty. And then we found the raisins in their poop for days. We couldn't figure out where they were getting the raisins. Dog's fine. You know, these are the same things that, you know, two of them sent the person to emergency.
Chocolate is another one.
Yeah, you can give a bite of chocolate to your dog.
Any other?
But now, remember, when I start saying these things, it really pisses people off.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the medical professionals get really mad at me when I poo-poo this danger.
Oh, let them.
Well, anyway, but that's the way it is. Just the balance. That's the take-home lesson.